Good morning and welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Today we're talking with Sue Farmer, the interim executive director of The Harbor, which some of you may remember in past years as the Women's Resource Center. Sue, welcome.
Thank you, Roger. It's nice to be here.
Would you remind us all, just to start out with, what The Harbor is and what it does? Who does it serve?
Okay. Well, I've been the interim executive director for about 9 months. I started back in September, and one of the neatest things I think about the Harbor is its vision, which is a community that works together to break the cycle of domestic violence and sexual assault. And the mission of the Harbor is to provide advocacy, prevention, support, and to promote self-determination and hope for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. But what the Harbor is a critical link and participant in the local community services network. We are the safety net for domestic violence and sexual assault victims. When a family or an individual is in crisis due to family violence, sexual assault or stalking, other agencies in the area, law enforcement, the DA's office, DHS, will contact the Harbor to connect clients for safety planning, intervention, and individual stabilization.
Well, to put all that in human terms.
Yes.
Someone is in a situation, in a home, in a relationship where they're in trouble. They're either being abused, sexually abused, something is wrong, and they have no easy means of escaping that. There's no family they can run to and so on. Is that where you step in? What happens then?
Well, what happens is when situations are critical and the police are called in to a situation, they will call our DSART team, our Domestic Sexual Assault Response Team, in to work with the client, the victim. But we won't respond to the victim until the perpetrator has been removed from the scene. Sometimes we don't meet at the home. Sometimes we meet at a specified location just to make sure that the victim is feeling safe. So lots of times that's where we meet our clients. Sometimes we meet them at the hospital when they've been sexually assaulted or beaten to the point where they have to have hospital services.
And if you weren't there, if there was no Harbor, what would happen in a situation like that?
The abuse would just continue. Because at least the Harbor offers hope for individuals who are being victimized. It takes a lot for somebody to get out of an abusive relationship because of the cycle of power and control. Somebody who is an abuser will, there is a period of tension, which leads to violence, which then leads to the honeymoon period. And we all marry somebody or fall in love with someone because that person, you know, has caught our heart, and we would never think that they could ever do something like hit you or even worse. So when you're in that type of a situation, it just doesn't happen one time, and it doesn't. And that cycle continues. Sometimes it takes. Goes on for a period of years. I mean, you may have a cycle of violence and then you get in your honeymoon period. It may be a year or two, but a lot of times once that cycle starts, it starts increasing at a rapid rate.
So by honeymoon period, it's sort of, oh, gee, I'm sorry. That will never happen again. I don't know what came over me.
Oh, yeah, the flowers, the jewelry, oh, you're so special. Or sometimes when abusive relationships get really tough, sometimes just even a hug or a nice hug or a comment, oh, you look nice today, is all that the victim, you just gravitate to those things. Because by the time that the cycle has continued, the victim has lost all self-confidence and, is at the lowest of low. And it's very hard as this particular relationship continues to get enough self-confidence back to leave. So sometimes somebody gets beat up or ends up in the hospital where law enforcement comes in, and that's the time when the harbor makes their presence known, and that person knows where to go for help.
Now, is it typical for it to happen that way, where something has to go through the police being called before the harbor steps in?
Not always. We are open Monday through Friday from 9 to 4 to see anybody that wants to walk in. We have women, men walk in. We serve the LGBTIQ community. Whoever is in crisis can come by and talk to one of the advocates. We do a lot of restraining orders for people. We do a lot of those. We also attend their court hearings with the victims as well. So we advocate the whole way through the process.
So it started out as the Women's Resource Center, because initially it seemed that that's where the need was. And then over time, it became apparent that some men are abused, and then some people who have other gender identities also are find themselves in situations like that.
Yes, and actually last year at the harbor, there were 192 males that visited the harbor for services in 2016.
I think that would surprise a lot of people who probably still think it's a women's...
It's just women. It's not.
Well, that initial crisis intervention where the police come and the person is maybe taken to the hospital and so on, that's really just the beginning of the process.
Right.
What happens from there?
Well, from there, then the victim, we do safety planning, we do intervention, we set them up with any type of services that they need. If they need housing, we have scattered sheltering where we can shelter people for a while. We don't have a shelter house right now, and that is something that we're working on. But we do have the individual case managements. We have our support groups, the HEART group and the Survivor Circle. We can help them with legal and court advocacy through the Oregon Law Center. We can get them connected to them. And we can also give them financial assistance. A lot of times we give out a lot of bus tickets. And we have actually, we had a mother and a child that during the bad cold storm, the bus wasn't running to Portland, and she was catching a train to get to a friend's house for safety, and she couldn't get to Portland. And so our advocate ended up taking her to Kelso to the train station, and she got a train to Portland and then to her destination. So, and then we had another one where, in the middle of the night, our advocates will go out to Arch Cape in one of the worst storms of the winter at 1:30 in the morning to help a victim.
So there's no one solution, one Band-Aid that you can apply, because each case is different and each has different needs, and you try to supply whatever that need is.
Right.
How are you funded? Where does the money come from to do this?
Well, most of our money, of course, half of our money, I should say, comes from state grants through DHS and Department of Justice. And then the other part comes from, we apply for foundation grants and fundraisers like the Soup Bowl. But we also look to companies, banks, and things who have foundations, grants set up that we can apply for. Rotaries have grant opportunities. And so we, are constantly looking for opportunities and applying for funds. But there's a lot of nonprofits in our area, so there's a lot of competition out there as well. So fundraising and funders, I'd like to get, forever funders, like $1,000 a year, 100 people.
A forever funder would be what? Someone who would commit to giving a certain amount on a regular basis.
Say $1,000 a year for, 100 people. Yeah, $100,000. That'd be awesome.
I wonder if often those kinds of funds come from people who know somebody who have been in a situation where this is close to their heart in some
way? The statistics are, you know, they're not very good. A 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men, you know, have had some domestic violence or sexual assault in their life.
Well, it must take a few people to do all of this. I mean, you're the interim executive director. You're not doing all this. It would be impossible for one person. What kind of staff does the harbor have?
We have a great staff. We have our lead domestic violence and co-located advocate, Shani Tudor, who's been there for 9 years. And then Shauna Neumeister is working half-time as a domestic violence advocate. Crystal Moody started out as a DSART, and she's our sexual assault advocate. She's doing a great job. I hear all kinds of kudos about Crystal from the district attorney's office. I just hired Felina Mincy. She's a Coast Guard wife to be my volunteer coordinator, and she's also a DSART. They've all had their 40-hour training, and of course we'll continue to get more training as the years go on, but Felina is hitting it with the soup bowl, and so I see her as a advocate down the road.
Well, you mentioned volunteers. I'm guessing volunteers, you have to have volunteers in order to play a part in this, to do all the things you do. How many volunteers do you have, and what kinds of things do they do, and do you need more?
We need a lot more. We've lost a lot of volunteers. As an executive director leaves, that the volunteers kind of leave with them, and sometimes with the staff, too. You know, staff get people on board.
Because and we should point out that the harbor had a longtime executive director.
Yes.
And then over a period of, maybe 5 years or so or
yes,
less, it's
less.
Had...
3 years.
Over the past 3 years, it's had 4 or 5.
Or 4 years, I guess, yeah.
So there's been quite a bit of change until interim executive director Sue Farmer.
Yes, I plan on being here a while, yeah. Yeah, retirement's kind of boring there, Roger. I need some action.
But your job is to kind of get all this stuff back on track and
right.
and going again.
Right, and it's happening. We're doing well. Ellen Long is our grant manager, and she's doing an excellent job. And anyway, so our staff is small, but we're mighty, and I have all the confidence in the world in our advocates.
Well, let's suppose that that somebody is in trouble at home, and things are getting worse and worse, and they haven't gotten yet to calling the police, but they know they need help. What would you recommend? What do they do?
Well, they could call the crisis line. The crisis line number is 503-325-5735, or they can stop by our office at 1359 Duane Street. We are open from 9 to 4 Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We're open 9 to noon on Wednesday. But if you call on the crisis line and need immediate assistance, we are there for you. And our DSARTs go on shift at 4 o'clock, and they work from 4 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at 4 o'clock at night till 9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, a couple of questions. One, tell me what a DSART is.
It's the Domestic Sexual Assault Response Team, and they are on call 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and will respond to any crisis at any time.
And your first contact when you, for example, when you call the crisis line or when you walk in, who is it you talk to, and what can you expect? I think sometimes people may be afraid to call because they don't know what they're getting into. So what are you getting into when you call? What happens?
Well, the crisis line is a first point of contact for many survivors. And the helpline is answered by a certified advocate who has completed the Oregon Coalition's 40-hour training. So they're very knowledgeable about crisis intervention. It's not a suicide helpline, however. I do want to emphasize that is through Clatsop Behavioral Health or 911 or one of those. But our crisis line does help for the domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking.
So this might be a person who could kind of steer you and say, okay, well, here's your situation, here's some avenues you can follow, and here's a place where you can get some help, and here's someone you can talk to. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah, and yeah, so we really encourage people who call into the crisis line or people that we meet on our DSART response responses to come into the office to set up a safety planning to, you know, take the next steps for intervention and group counseling and things like that.
And I would guess once in a great while the advice has to be you need to call the police right away.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
How many buildings and things are you operating right now? You have an office.
Right.
We have Deja Vu, which is
It's a boutique.
A boutique.
It's a thrift store.
A thrift store.
And it's the best kept secret in Clatsop County, according to the Willamette Weekly. That was pretty cool. We got designated as Astoria's best kept secret.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautifully laid out place, and it looks more like a boutique or a store than it does you would expect a thrift store to look. And I know quite a few people who go there to shop. You also need people to bring donations.
Yes, we need donations, and we get some excellent donations. We've had people donate houses, furnishings.
Really?
Yeah, and we've gotten a lot of really interesting antique things from those types of donations. But yeah, we're doing well. And we have a new store manager, Nikki Patterson. She's been on board with us for about a month or two. She worked in the store before that for about 2 months. And anyway, she's doing a great job.
So donations can be tricky because sometimes you can get more than you have room for at a given time.
So that is
true.
Somebody
coordinates with you about when to bring them, that I'm sure that's helpful.
Yeah, that would be very helpful.
You need clothing for both men and women and children and so on?
Right. We have a voucher room. So when we have clients and they need clothing or their children need clothing, we have a special room where they can go and shop without, just in privacy. Because, mm-hmm. They've already been through enough and for them to have the opportunity to just go and pick out the clothes that they need. And we always are prepared for our clients in their hour of need. We have a bag that we pack up for people when we go out on a call.
So Deja Vu, the boutique, mm-hmm. and your offices are both at 14th and Duane Street, right?
Yes, we're in the Norblad building there, mm-hmm. and we've been there for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Do you have other properties that you maintain as well?
We do. We have a shelter house that has been under remodel, and we're hoping to open it in the near future. We also have the Van Dusen building, which was generously donated to the harbor by the Poole family, Robert and Marianne Poole. And that building, the Van Dusen building, is currently up for sale. Unfortunately, as hard as we tried over the last, I think they donated it in 2010. And so I know that one of the executive directors had tried very hard to remodel and get that get us into the Van Dusen building, but
yeah, initially the idea was maybe this building could be fixed up and remodeled and brought up to code, and it could become the central building for you, right?
Right. Yeah.
And that became really expensive.
Yeah, it's going to take at least $350,000. It would for us anyway to bring it up to where we need it to be and to put in a new elevator and things like that. And the board made the decision to go ahead and sell that building.
$350,000 is a lot to try to come by for an organization in a small community like ours.
Right. And so, the money from the sale of the Pioneer House and another rental house went in to do the initial remodel. And it still is not it's not inhabitable at this point, but it would take, and we had looked at just getting into the first floor, but there is there's really, you know, to put Deja Vu there and the advocates' offices, and there's just not the room that we need in that first floor. And the second floor, you know, is still in a stage of construction. And so to make the repairs and to finish the remodel, it would be very expensive for the harbor to do. And that is not, that's not our business. I mean, I would need a, I've tried in the last 9 months, I've been to the city and I've done a lot of legwork trying to see and talk to the contractors and the electricians and to see what it would take to get into that building. Cause I, you know, I really just hated to say not going to be a possibility, but we've finally come to that conclusion. And it would take a full-time project manager to get that building up and running and oversee the construction. And that's not something that the executive director really should be spending their time on.
Well, it's a whole different thing from your mission, which is to help people in need.
Right.
Not to be a construction contractor. And I understand you have an interested buyer.
We do. We do have somebody interested in the building.
So what would, and I understand the pools were even agreeable to this, that they, to you selling and so on.
Well, there were no restrictions on the sale or the deed. And I have talked to the Poole family. I've talked to Wayne Poole and reached out to his sister, Linda. And Wayne, he understands, and he said that's fine.
So how do things develop after this? Now, this, being able to sell this building would bring in some additional resources.
Would be great because, we've just been operating basically on a shoestring. And so you have to, in order, with the way the grants work, you have to pay out the money before you can ask for it from the state. So you've got to have some kind of buffer there. And we were very fortunate that a community member who passed away had left the harbor in her will. And she just kind of saved our bacons this year. But so I'm very, very grateful for her and her family.
So tell me about your goals, your vision. What does interim executive director Sue Farmer want to get done? The building gets sold and you've got some things really going in place already. What all would you like to have accomplished before you take off that interim mantle and hand it off to a more permanent executive director?
Oh, I really do. My goal is to bring the harbor back up to where it was in its heyday, where the state of Oregon said, to other agencies, go to the harbor and see how they do it. So I really want to bring us up to the state-of-the-art agency and increase our advocacy. I'd like to have a Spanish-speaking advocate and a LGBTIQ advocate on board with us in order to meet the needs of the entire county. Those two things are very important to me, and to get the shelter back up and running so that we do have a place for people, women, it will be for women to go when they really do not have a friend or a family member, and the situation is to the point where they have got to find a place to stay for a while.
And I'm sure there are many people in the community who recognize that that we need to have a harbor. We need to have the harbor, that it performs a service that is essential in our community. What can they do to help? What are the kinds of things the community can step forward and do?
Some of the things that they could do is, they can volunteer to help out at Deja Vu. They can help out. We have three volunteers currently that help out in the office and two that run our group meetings. And we do need some backups for those individuals. So that would be a great volunteer opportunity.
For volunteers, do you need somebody who's able to give you a whole week, or is a couple of days enough, or half a day, or
actually,
what kind of people go for?
Yeah, just
for
a day. I know we have a a volunteer who comes in, Jane, and she comes in one day a week, and yeah, and she's answers the phone, helps out, and she can run a group, and yeah.
Somebody who can bring the skills they have from mm-hmm. wherever they've been,
right,
and contribute.
Well, they all take the 40-hour training, so they would increase their skills, whatever they have, and be able to answer all the questions and have a really good understanding of what the harbor does.
Well, tell me a little about the training. What is the training like, and what is that about?
Well, it's an online training. They say it's a 40-hour training. It's just got different segments of in it, like the history of domestic violence shelters and those types of things. It's just the different facets of what an organization, an agency like ours, all of the different services that we provide and what that all means as far as knowledge and skills. So mm-hmm. this basically, they attain all that through this training.
Sort of to get everyone on the same page so that when somebody comes in needing help, there are people there who have an idea what it is and where to steer them and who in the agency would be the one that would be best able to help them.
Right, and we all get the same training, so we're all on the same page there as far as what they are going through and what their needs are.
Now, is somebody who comes in to offer, say, secretarial help or so on, are they going through the training as well?
If they are coming face-to-face with victims, which they would be in an advocacy office, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They would need training as well.
So it's a chance to learn something new.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Sue, I wish you the best of luck on behalf of certainly myself, but on behalf of our community, because you are providing a service that we need. And I know you've stepped into a situation where your energy and skills and determination are needed.
Well, thank you, Roger. And in 2016, we served 1,433 Clatsop County residents. And so I know, and the statistics show, that the harbor is needed in our community in order to be there in our neighbor and friend's darkest hour of need. So we're there.